देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया। भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Canto 8, Chapter 9, Text Number 4. Navayam tvamarayir daityaye Siddha Gandharva Charane Naspraśta Purvam Jamino Lokshesh Lokeshais Chakuto Nirbhi. Excuse me, I don't have my glasses. Navayam Tvamarayir Daityaye Siddha Gandharva Charanai Naspraśta Purvam Janimo Lokeshais Chakuto Nirbhi. Navayam Tvamarayir Daityaye Siddha Gandharva Charane Naspraśta Purvam Janimo Lokeshais Chakuto Nirbhi. No, it is not. Vayam, we. Tva, unto you. Amarai, by the demigods. Daitye, by the demons. Siddha, by the siddhas. Gandharva, by the gandharvas. Charanai, and by the charanas. Na. No. not. Asprishta purvam, never enjoyed or touched by anyone. Janimaha, know exactly. Loka ishayehi, by the various directors of the universe. Cha, also. Kutaha, what to speak of. Nrabihi, by human society. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. What to speak of human beings, even the demigods, demons, siddhas, gandharvas, charanas, and the various directors of the universe, the prajapatis, have never touched you before. It is not that we are unable to understand your identity. Purport. Even the asuras observe the etiquette that no one should address a married woman with lust. The great analyst Chanakya Pandita says, Matravat Paradareshu. One should consider another's wife to be one's mother. The asuras, the demons, took it for granted that the beautiful young woman, Mohini Murti, who had arrived before them, was certainly not married. Therefore, they assumed that no one in the world, including the demigods, the Gandharvas, the Charanas, and the Siddhas, had ever touched her. The demons knew that the young girl was unmarried, and therefore they dared to address her. They supposed that the young girl, Mohini Murti, had come there to find a husband among all those present, the Daityas, the demigods, the Gandharvas, and so on. Text 5. O beautiful girl with beautiful eyebrows, certainly Providence, by his causeless mercy, has sent you to please the senses and minds of all of us. Is this not a fact? Text 6. We are all now engaged in enmity amongst ourselves because of this one subject matter, the container of nectar. Although we have been born in the same family, we are becoming increasingly inimical. O thin-waisted woman, who are so beautiful in your prestigious position, we therefore request you to favor us by settling our dispute. Purport. The demons understood that the beautiful woman had attracted the attention of them all. Therefore, they unanimously requested her to become the arbiter to settle their dispute. Text 7. All of us, both demons and demigods, have been born of the same father, Kashyapa, and thus we are related as brothers. But now we are exhibiting our personal prowess in dissension. Therefore, we request you to settle our dispute and divide the nectar equally among us. Text 8. Having thus been requested by the demons, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who had assumed the form of a beautiful woman, began to smile. Looking at them with attractive feminine gestures, she spoke as follows. Now what she spoke, we'll hear tomorrow. Om Agyanatthimirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivas Adi Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Rama Adi Murti Shukala Niyamena Tishthan Nana Avatara Makarod Bhuvaneshu Kintu Krishna Swayam Samabhavat Paramapamanyo Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. This whole section of Bhagavatam is one of my favorites because it has very wonderful lessons. And is this pastime is just extremely exhilarating in one sense. Today is also a very auspicious day, right? Today is Vijayadashmi, right, Mukunda? Vijayadashmi is the day Lord Ram killed Ravana. And he was victorious and began to bring Sita Devi back. Today is also the appearance day of Srila Madhvacharya, who is after whose name we take our sampradaya, Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. So to fit in all these great personalities, of course, is my limitation, but we'll see what we can do. And we'll try to connect all of them. When, as a child, I often heard a story about there were two rabbits. They were fighting with each other because they had found a piece of bread. And they were fighting because they wanted equal share of the bread, but they could not trust each other that the other person would give them their fair share. They said, no, you will take the bigger piece. No. If you divide it, you'll take the bigger piece. So with the bread there, they were constantly arguing with each other. A cat happened to pass by. And the cat looked at the rabbits, looked at the piece of bread, and said, "Oh, my dear little sisters, why are you fighting?" "Oh, because we're not able to settle the dispute as to who gets, how we can have exactly half the bread to share with each other." The cat said, "Oh, don't worry, I'll help you. I'll make it half because I'm the neutral party here." "Oh, yes. You please tear the bread into two exact halves." The cat said, "All right." So the cat tore this bread and looked at it and said, "Oh, I'm so sorry. This piece is bigger than this piece. I couldn't exactly cut it in half. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to eat a little bit so that these two become equal." Yes, very good. So the cat ate this piece of bread, looked at it and said, "Oh, I ate a little too much here. So I need to eat this to make it this size." So the rabbit said, "Yeah, very nice, sure." The cat ate this piece and said, "Yeah, now. Oh, actually, this piece looks smaller than this one. This is, I want to be fair to both of you. Ate a little from here. And before you knew, the bread was over. The cat said, "Sorry, sisters, I couldn't do this," and walked away. Very similar. After working so hard, the demons and demigods, now they are not rabbits, they're very powerful and extremely intelligent people. Okay? And when Dhanvantri came with the pot of nectar, this is where demons and demigods are distinguished. The demigods followed order, they're waiting for Dhanvantri to give their share. But the demons, they jumped and snatched the pot from Dhanavantri's hand. And if they were intelligent enough, they should have opened it up and started drinking the nectar. But they started fighting and quarreling. Who gets the first sip? And who gets how much? Suddenly there was this whole sense of hierarchy. And because everyone wants to be superior, this is demoniac nature, they were not able to settle who gets it. So they were wasting their time, quarreling. Who gets it first and who gets the most? So in this moment, there appeared Mohini Murti, personality of Godhead in this most attractive feminine form. Now, the fact that the demons are exhibiting lust, the most congenial form for addressing that lust is the form of a woman. Because for a man, all his lust sort of culminates in the form of a woman. And for a woman, it culminates in the form of a man, because it's the fulfillment of the lust or the opportunity for it. And so she appears. Now, she could have appeared as an old woman. Why didn't she come as an old woman? Because no one cares for an old woman. Like, skin hanging here and there, teeth broken, hair all, you know, grayed out, you know, can't stand straight. And she said, let me distribute the nectar. Get out of here. But she comes in this so attractive form. And they're like drooling, just looking at her. Literally, they're drooling. And these are not ordinary people. They're not like bums somewhere here and there that, you know, they saw some girl and they're like, this is the most attractive lady in the entire three worlds. They haven't seen anyone like that. And they do see very beautiful people. Because among the demigods, the beauty that the females have or the men have is not comparable. Once Prabhupada told his disciples, you're getting attracted to all the women here. If you see the women in the higher planets, you have absolutely no idea. You won't be able to control your senses. It gets so agitated, you become mad. Same for women. There's so good-looking men. You see that picture there of Kunti Devi? She was 16 years old. And Durvasa Muni had given her a mantra that by this mantra, you can call any demigod to come and they will appear before you. But there's only on one condition. When they come before you, they have to impregnate you. You have to have a child with them. Because if you need it any time in the future, you know, she said, okay, thank you. But she was a young girl, 16 years old, perhaps not too mature. You know, when you get something and it says this is what it will do, the first tendency is to see if it actually works, right? So she said, let me try. And she looked at the sun planet and said, maybe Suryadev. And she uttered that mantra with Suryadev's name. And voila, he showed up at her doorstep. And look at how he looks. So magnificent. And whoever did the painting, Bharadaraj Prabhu. Look at Kunti. Her sari has fallen from her chest. Her hair is disheveled. She's holding like this. And shocked that he actually showed up. And that is how Karna was born. Because he said, I cannot go back without you having a child from me. I can't have a child, I'm not married. Right? What to do? You call. So then he promised her that they would have a child, but her virginity would not be spoiled. So anyway, it's a long story in Mahabharata, but he's there. So the Prabhupada said that the persons on the higher planets are so beautiful, so attractive that human beings look like pigs for them. It's like, come on, that's not attractive. And Siddhas and Gandharvas, the Gandharvas are very beautiful. They sing with such charm that if they utter one swara, sa, you're like, oh, you just fall off. They're so attractive in their features. Siddhas, they're extremely. But they had never seen anyone like this. So she must definitely be so charming. And the demons are like, you know, this. Now they were fighting for nectar, and they look at her and they tell her, oh, of course, in the way they speak, we would not be able to speak to anyone. Oh, thin-waisted lady. Oh, you have beautiful thighs. How are you? We can't speak like that. We get a one tight slap on our face. But they're glorifying her. The whole idea is they're glorifying her form. And so, before end, she appeared there. Why? Because her objective was to distract the demons from drinking that nectar. Because Lord Vishnu wanted the demigods to get that nectar. And to distract the demons, any lusty object or any person or object that they can lust after is the easiest way to distract anyone. Because, now it's on a serious note, you remember those two verses from Bhagavad Gita chapter 2 where Krishna describes that when a person is overcome by lust, there are a series of things that happen. Dhyayato vishayan pumsam sangasteshu pajayate. Sangha, they become attached to that. So now they're suddenly attached to this Mohini Murti. And the attachment is, I want to enjoy her. So they're first asking her, are you married or not married? And from her features, they can tell she's not married. She doesn't have a ring, wedding band. I mean, she's available. So, and there are other features by which they can tell. And they say, are you married? Whose daughter are you? And it looks like, he says, na vayam, neither we, tva amarair, or the demigods, they're called the amaras, daitye, means all the sons of Diti, siddha gandharva charane, neither the siddhas, the gandharvas, nor the charana, kuto nribihi, what to speak of the human beings, they don't even know what beauty means, but they, none of them, no male, no man in all the three worlds has touched you. Who are you? Can I get your phone number? Can we go out on a date? That's the question basically. This is even more grosser than that, but they're just so enamored by her beauty. So dhyayato vishayan pumsam sangashteshu pajayate. Suddenly you have this attachment to enjoying that object, that person. Sangat sanjayate kamaha. Because of that attachment, lust develops very strongly. Kamat krodho vajayate. And if one cannot fulfill one's lust, one becomes angry. Like here, they've got the nectar, they're unable to drink it, and they're angry with each other. They're brothers. They're all related to each other. They're from the same mother, many of them, most of them. And although they're from the same mother, they're brothers. They're fighting against the demigods in a united way. But as soon as the nectar comes, they're fighting amongst themselves. This is the nature of selfishness or a lusty person. They will cooperate as long as they get their objective. And once their objective comes, they will fight with the same person that they cooperated with. In fact, their own brother here. And so, krodhat bhavati sammoha. Anger bewilders a person. Sammoha. Not in English, sammoha. In English, it's a lot of moha. Sammoha in Sanskrit means samyak rupena, completely bewildered. And because it is sammoha, the person here is Mohini. By the name, you understand that she is here. She is, in English, if I were to translate her name, Mohini Murti, it would mean the form of bewilderment. Bewilderment. Mind not working. Bewildered. Sammoha. Sammohat smriti vibhrama. The one who becomes bewildered, their memory goes away. Now what kind of memory goes away? Few things. They lose memory of what the circumstance is all about. They lose memory of all the good instructions they have been given. You know, we've been told, don't do these things. Do these things. It's good for you. But at that point of bewilderment, we forget. We forget how the consequences of what we are about to do are going to harm us. At that moment, it's too much to say, oh no, I can't, it's just too big. Smriti Bhramshad Buddhinasha. As soon as that memory goes, intelligence that tells us, don't do it, this is not good for you. That voice becomes, don't do it, it's not good for you. You don't hear it anymore. The voice of wisdom. And buddhinasha pranashyati. As soon as that intelligence is lost, a person falls from that position. And when one falls, what one stays with is guilt, regret, frustration, failure. And then, this is not for me. Maybe I should not, you know, this is not for me. Spiritual life is not for me. And this is what the demons are showing, how those verses are playing out for us in front of our eyes when Mohini Murti manifests there. And so now they are started behaving. Have you seen how men in the presence of attractive women become stupid? There's a phrase, Cupid makes a man stupid. Because Cupid, he shoots arrows, both at men and women. He shoots arrows in such a way that big, intelligent, strong men behave like babies and really foolish. All of any man's intelligence completely goes down the drain as soon as he sees a woman. Not for the matter of women also. Women are a little better at holding their emotions. Men are just like foolish. So, but what we do is we easily blame the women. It's because of the women that I'm disturbed. Really? Then we should go to the forest because there are no women there, and practice Krishna consciousness in the forest. Once with Hidananda Maharaj, some brahmacharis had complained, Maharaj, we cannot stay in the ashram because the women are disturbing our minds. So Maharaj asked them, really, if I ask the women to leave, who will you sing the kirtan for? Oh yeah. So the idea is the mind becomes so bewildered that men can become extremely foolish, childish, and not discriminating. The kinds of things they can say and can do is very, very embarrassing. They can embarrass themselves severely. The point is not about man or woman. The point is more general. The principle that when one is overcome by lust, one embarrasses oneself. One does things in a way that is very embarrassing. Same with Ravana. He is the son of a Brahmin. And this Brahmin is not two-bit Brahmin walking on the street. His grandfather is Pulasthi Muni, who is one of the great sages in the universe. If someone says, you know, oh, my name is Ford, we all know Ford. Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, family of Ford, Rockefeller. We know the name. They're very famous names in the planet. You go to Indra's planet and say, I am from the Rockefellers. And he's like, who's that, right? But you say, I'm a relative of Pulasthi Muni. They would all stand up and offer respect because he's such a great person. So Pulasthi Muni's son, his name was Vishrava. Vishrava was such an amazing Brahmin, so powerful in his Brahma Tejas that wherever he would sit and meditate, even the Rakshasa ladies would be attracted to him. Generally, Rakshasa ladies are not attracted to Brahmins so easily. But in this case, she was attracted to him because he was so paka in his practices that she offered, please marry me. And a Brahmin, in this case, he married her, and Ravana was born. So very, very, you know, high quality genes in him. But he embarrassed himself again and again and again because he could not control his lust. He raped Vedavati. He raped Nalakubara's wife, Rambha. There's a whole long list of women that he raped and defiled. And when he came to defile Vedavati, she was a young woman sitting in the forest and meditating because she had decided that she will give her life to Vishnu only. And Ravana saw her while he was flying on a stolen aeroplane. That aeroplane belonged to Kuvera, his half-brother. He stole it from him and he was doing his aerial mission. And in the middle of the green, lush forest, there was smoke coming from a fire. And he thought, what is that fire? And when he saw, it is Vedavati's bodily effulgence. And he was like, wow, I've never seen an ascetic woman like this. She must be very good to enjoy. And he forced himself on her. So she warned him, if you ever touch a woman again and you force yourself on her against her wish, you will die immediately. So when he kidnapped Sita Devi, he kept her for 1 year in the Ashokavan, the forest, because he could not force. It was very easy for him to force himself on Sita Devi, but he knew the curse of Vedavati is going to kill him. It is only fear of death that perhaps he stopped himself. But lust is such that people are so foolish that even if it's going to kill them, they will do it. Smoking, drugs, etc. This is going to kill the person for sure. But we do it because it's too difficult to hold back. Somehow Ravana, he held himself back that if I defile Sita, I will die. And I want her to say yes to me first. So for 1 year or more than 6 months, he held her in the forest. He did not dare force himself because he was afraid. So Vijayadashmi, this day, is called Vijaya. Vijaya means victory. And Dashami is because tomorrow is Ekadashi, today is the 10th day. It's called the victory day, the day of victory, for multiple reasons. One is because Lord Rama killed Ravana. So it's a great victory. No one else could touch Ravan. Ravan had a blessing from Lord Brahma that no demigod, Siddha, Gandharva, Charana, Rakshasas, nobody would be able to kill him. The only two categories of people that he didn't care for, he said, human beings. He said, what will human beings do to me? Psh, I don't care. And monkeys. He said, psh, if humans cannot do anything, monkeys cannot do anything anyway. Forget it. That's why Lord Ram or Krishna appeared as a human being. And all of the demigods and other devotees appeared as monkeys and bears, because this was the only army that would kill Ravana. So that's one victory. Another victory is, now for us it's important to understand, it gives us conviction and aspiration. Now we are all, as we've been told by Prabhupada, trying to fight a war with Maya. We're trying to fight a war with illusion. Where is the illusion? Do you know? Where is the illusion? Okay, in our minds. Inside? Is there outside also? Everywhere. Because the world, in one sense, is a projection of our consciousness. Depending on our consciousness, we see certain things. And we don't see certain things. For example, we're not attracted to pigs. Like, whatever. But a male pig or a female pig is very attracted to the other one. You know, they'll oink oink each other and they'll really run for each other. Because the consciousness of the pig is, the other pig is my world. So the illusion is here, primarily. It's in our consciousness. And that illusion, we're trying very hard, and that's probably the problem, that we try very hard to dispel that illusion. But we don't get it, that it's not our endeavor by which the illusion goes away. It is Krishna's mercy. So we try very hard to attract Krishna's mercy. We try very hard. My dear Krishna, please help me. Oh Lord Nityananda, please. Because when you say, my dear Krishna, the voice is weak. It doesn't get that far. But Lord Nityananda, he will run. As soon as you say, Lord Nityananda, he will come running. Krishna will say, write your exam. Let me test you. Let's see if you pass the exam. Krishna is more difficult. He's a tough guy. Lord Nityananda is not like that. Whatever difficulty you have, Lord Nityananda, he'll come immediately. He's like that. So we're trying very hard to get Krishna's mercy in our lives, because that mercy is going to dispel this illusion. So Vijayadashmi is a reminder or a confirmation for us that we can also become victorious in dispelling this when we allow Lord Ram to kill that Ravan within us. He has 10 heads, 20 arms. 10 heads, because it described that in one head, how much lust is there? Unlimited lust in one head. Imagine if it is 10 heads. And that lust in the head, we grab with our two arms, whatever comes our way. So if you have 20 arms, very eager to grab and make it ours. So that victory is to allow Lord Ram to dissipate and kill that lusty demon in our hearts. That demon that takes away Krishna's internal energy and exploits it. Whatever we see, instead of seeing at Krishna's or Rama's, we think it's ours. It's for us to enjoy. Whether it's a good-looking woman, a nice fragrant flower, awesome prasadam, or a car, money, clothes, or whatever it is. Our attention first is, that's for me, for me. And we want Lord Ram to kill that demon. So Vijayadashmi is, we want to be victorious. Another meaning of Vijayadashmi is sometimes we look at ourselves and we think, how can I do it? I'm so weak. You know, this illusion, this lust or something is very, very formidable. It's very difficult to overcome. How can I overcome it? So Lord Ram shows that if we take his shelter, then even if we are like monkeys and bears, still we can win if we follow his instruction. Now, monkeys and bears, they signify something. Monkey is supposed to be an animal in the mode of passion. Cow is in the mode of goodness. And bear is in the mode of ignorance. Prabhupada said that you can take a human life from one of these three animals: monkeys, bears, or cows. So from a cow, when the soul migrates into a human body, he migrates into human body with the mode of goodness. From monkey, he migrates into human body with the mode of passion. And from a bear, he migrates into a human body, transmigrates into a human body with mode of ignorance. So bears, they do two things. They eat and they sleep. They eat for 6 months and they sleep for 6 months. They love to sleep. So mode of ignorance is just love to sleep. Love to be unaware of the reality around us. Because when we sleep, what's the reality around us is we're not aware of it. Correct? We don't know what's going on around the world. You wake up and say, what happened? Imagine waking up after 6 months, like, what happened? Bears are like that, just dull. And monkeys are just too busy with sex. This is unbelievably restless. Have you ever seen a monkey sitting quietly? Ever seen that? It's not possible. They can't. They're too fidgety. Every moment they have to fidget something. They fidget. If nothing else, if they have nothing else to do, they sit in line and, you know, they search for lice in the hair for each other. Have you seen it? That's all they do. They're constantly busy. Otherwise, they're having sex and they're swinging from one branch to another branch. Just too busy with nothing. Just monkeys. And you say, you know, you have an attention span of a chimpanzee. You say something for 2 seconds, like, too restless. Bears are sleepy, monkeys are restless. Now Lord Ram's army was sleepy and restless fellows. Either you're too restless or you're too sleepy. And he had Ravan to kill. And Indrajit, Indrajit means one who defeated Indra. These are all persons on the other side. They have witchcraft. They can appear in different forms. They can become invisible and fight. All these. And they're, all these persons are just monkeys and bears. Or just, they have brute strength. That's all. No intelligence. We say monkeys are intelligent. Yes, they are. But a restless mind is not intelligent. Or even if the intelligence is there, it doesn't know how to direct it. And a bear, just not intelligent enough. Now Lord Ram's army, other than Rama and Lakshmana, everyone else is a monkey or a bear. It's like, how do you fight a war like that? But he was able to. He was able to because there is Lord Ram and Lakshmana, Guru and Krishna. Under their leadership, even monkeys and bears can make it. They can make their life successful and victorious. Therefore, we hear in Bhagavad Gita, the very final verse, Yatra, Yatra Yogeshwaro Krishna, Yatra Partha Dhanurdharaha. Wherever there is Arjuna and Krishna. Because Arjuna is like considered guru because he has received knowledge from Krishna. Wherever there is a devotee and Krishna. Tatra Shrir Vijaya Bhutir Dhruva Nitir Matir Mama. These four things are always there. Shri, all opulence will come to a person. And all victory, Vijaya, Niti, all morality will come just by the presence of Guru and Krishna in one's life. Not just their presence means there's some far persons, that they are there, we are under their leadership. Then victory is guaranteed. And victory comes with other things too. Opulence, success, morality. And it says Dhruva. Dhruva means for sure these things will come. So Vijayadashmi is a very super day. Of course, in India, they burn Ravana and, you know, light firecrackers and little fireworks, and they're all happy about it. This is the real semblance of it, that we too can become victorious. All we have to do is, although disqualified, just follow Guru and Krishna. So any questions or comments? I can speak about Madhvacharya's appearance. I don't know much about him. There's a whole book written on Madhvacharya's life. I haven't read it, so I don't know. Yeah, Jordan, you had something?
From the last verse in chapter 3.
In chapter 3?
Yeah, Bhagavad Gita.
Last verse. Evam buddhva param buddhe.
Yeah, I was
one
reading.
One should overcome lust by, he says, superior intelligence. And Prabhupada writes it as Krishna consciousness.
Yeah. And one other word in the purport, that, or in the translation, the verse that stuck out to me, it said, by like deliberate spiritual intelligence.
Right.
And I looked up the word deliberate. It means like consciously or intentionally. So I was just meditating on that the other day, and I thought it was relevant to this class. You have to consciously and intentionally stick to the spiritual path and conquer the enemy of lust.
What does that mean to you? Consciously means, or deliberately, what does it mean to you?
Like, attentively.
What are we paying attention to?
Well, the sadhana and the order of the spiritual master. I was thinking that.
Yeah. Interestingly, so just from a Bhagavad Gita appreciation perspective, after this verse starts a new chapter. And the chapter is called Transcendental Knowledge. So that transcendental knowledge, primarily Krishna speaks, is Sambandha Gyan. And when you speak Sambandha, there is also Abhideya in it, but primarily it is Sambandha Gyan. So we are attentive to a few things here. That's what it means, deliberate. One, we are operating in the material world. And the material world is governed by certain laws, certain causes and effects. So attentive means we should know, when I take this decision, when I take this action, what's the consequence of it? Many times we're unaware of the consequence. Even if we are aware of the consequence, we either underestimate that consequence, or we don't give it the true weight of what that consequence will do to us, how it will impact us. Either because we don't know, or we overestimate our ability to know. So that's first, because we are operating in this world. How does this world operate or interact? We should know that. Otherwise we wouldn't know what the consequences of our actions will be. For example, if I don't know that if I put my hand in fire, it will burn. If I don't know that, then I will burn. In 11th canto, Krishna calls it loka tattva vichakshana. Vichakshana means to see. Actually, to see perfectly. Loka tattva is to see perfectly how the world operates around us. You know, how relationships are, how people are, how lust works, how greed works, how anger destroys everything, how generosity breeds more generosity, how compassion breeds compassion, is how it works around us. That's one. Second, within that is our attentiveness to how our actions will either help or hurt our relationship with Krishna. And that is something we perhaps usually not so attentive to, because Krishna is in, and Guru is in some background, or somehow sort of fades into the background, once in a while will come out. So our actions have an impact on that relationship. So when we play with illusion, it blocks our relationship with Krishna. Our awareness, our consciousness of, or our being conscious of our acting in our relationship with Krishna. We're attentive to that. And the third is, deliberate means to know and become wise enough how to take a particular circumstance and act in our relationship with Krishna so we turn that situation into an advantage. Whatever situation, any loss or defeat or whatever it is, we think of them as unfavorable. But if you look at the lives of great persons, they take all unfavorable situations and turn them into their advantage. Arjuna was cursed to become a eunuch. He turned it into his advantage. Yudhishthira Maharaj was banished to the forest. He turned it into his advantage. Kunti was banished into the forest. She turned it into her advantage. Prahlad was constantly tortured by his father. He turned that into his advantage. Dhruva was sent to the forest. He turned that into his advantage. Whatever situation. Prabhupada, everything was failing. He turned that into his advantage. What's the advantage? To make our relationship with Krishna very strong. So that's the deliberateness in that verse. That one is conscious and aware. How can I make this my advantage in my relationship with Krishna? The world is giving me all disadvantages. I got to turn them into advantages. That is Param Buddha, the deliberate intelligence. And for that, transcendental knowledge is necessary. That's how the next chapter begins. And for transcendental knowledge, one has to receive it from one who has seen the truth. So, guru is necessary. Or proper training and cultivation of Krishna consciousness is necessary. Anything from your side? Jitendra Prabhu?
They say that failure is the pillar of success.
It's a stepping stone, as we say.
Yeah. I was thinking about that verse, while contemplating the objects of the senses, a person develops attachment, and then
attachment turns into lust. Yeah.
I always, tell the devotees, when they leave something in their car, don't leave it in the open, put it in your trunk. Because, you know, all it takes is, you know, they just have to eyeball it. And then, you know, I remember devotees left some sound equipment in the van.
Projector.
Yeah. Or it was, yeah, okay. And then it was there for 4 days. And I was just, you know, wondering when Jai Jagannath's going to get it out of there. And he was too preoccupied with the scripture, I guess, to realize that. And then it was in broad daylight. They just broke the windows and took it. You remember that about 6 years ago?
We all make mistakes. Yeah, we all make mistakes. Happens. We lost the projector and the glass for the blue van.
Yeah. So I always tell devotees, you know, don't give them a chance. You know, don't leave anything out.
Yeah, but mostly we leave plates of prasadam.
Yeah.
Paper plates, cups.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Final. Thank you very much. Very nice to be in your association. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.